This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
This book, Wabid al-Sayyid, that we cover on Sundays and Thursdays, inshallah ta'ala, into the time. We spoke about the last jalsa, or the last gathering. How Ibn al-Qayyim was talking about the virtue of the salah, and he was covering the hadith of where Yahya and Isa were speaking to each other, and Yahya ordered the people of Bethlehem with five things. From the second thing that he ordered was the salah. So here we ended on one point to where Ibn al-Qayyim mentions about the prayer, which is he hones in on. He says, فَيَسْتَرِيحُ بِهَا لَا مِنْهَا. So he finds ease in it, with it, not away from it. Which shows the importance of the prayer. That the prayer is the means for tranquility. It is the means for finding ease. It is the means for finding comfort. Not from it. Meaning that the prayer should not be a burden, which should leave us to ask ourselves the question. The majority of times that we pray, or that when we remember prayer comes in, is it burdensome for us? Is it something that tampers with our plans, or has some type of negative effect on even our psyche of the salah? Is it something that is gets in the way of what we want to do, rather than it being the way of where we want to go? Ibn al-Qayyim comes after that, rahimahullah ta'ala, and he says, rahimahullah, wal maqbulu min al-amali qisman. He said, and the two ways that actions are accepted are of two types. An accepted action is of two types. Ahaduhuma, an yusalli al-abdu wa ya'mala sa'ira ta'ati wa qalbuhu muta'alliqun billahi azza wa jal, dhakirun lillahi azza wa jal, ala al-dawam. He says that where the servant prays and does actions, in all of his actions, with his heart connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remembering and remembering him and mentioning him, azza wa jal, and continuously remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, فَأَعْمَالُ هَذَا الْعَبْدِ تُعْرَضُ عَلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ حَتَّى تَقِفَ قُبَالَتَهُ. So he says, so the actions of this type of servant will be raised in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or be shown to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, until تَقِفُ قُبَالَتَهُ, until it stands in front of him, or it's be shown in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَيَنْظُرُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ إِلَيْهَا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look at these actions. فَإِذَا نَظَرَ إِلَيْهَا وَرَآهَا خَالِصَةً لِوَجْهِهِ مَرْضِيَّةً قَدْ صَدَرَتْ عَنْ قَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ مُخْلِصٍ مُحِبٍّ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ مُتَقَرِّبٍ إِلَيْهِ أَحَبَّهَا وَرَضِيَهَا وَقَبِلَهَا. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ibn Qayyim mentions in this situation, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look at, they will be in front of him, the actions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look at them, those actions. فَإِذَا نَظَرَ إِلَيْهَا, when he sees them and he notices that they were sincere for his purpose and they're for his pleasure, that they emanated, the actions, the driving force behind them was from a pure, sincere heart that loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and wishes to get close to him, and he loves them and is pleased with them and accepts them. So notice that the individual had ikhlas and loved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wanting and desiring to get close. So let's stop here for a minute. When one does an action sincerely for Allah, means that the motivation behind the action was because of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the destination that is desired is for it to be accepted by the beloved. So the reason you do it is because Allah loves it and you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is no other motive behind the intention. There's no other motive. The reason is simply, and I say simply for this purpose, that Allah loves it and that I want His pleasure. That's it. That's the epitome. And that's what he's saying here when he says, مُخْلِصًا مُحِبًّا لِلَّهِ, that is sincere. When he looks at the heart, the pure heart that is sincere and loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, مُتَقَرِّبٍ إِلَيْهِ أَحَبَّهَا. When he wants, he does it to get close, Allah loves it, and he is pleased with it, and he accepts it. That's the first type. The second type, he says, وَقِسْمُ الثَّانِي أَنْ يَعْمَلَ الْعَبْدُ الْأَعْمَالَ عَلَى الْعَادَةِ وَالْغَفْلَةِ. He says, where the servant does the actions, performs these actions, just out of habit and absent-minded, out of habit and absent-minded. And this can be simply a simple example of this is the salah. So we make the salah, we know the time comes in, the adhan clock goes off, we go and we say Allahu Akbar, but our mind is not there. The actions are there, the actions are correct. If we look at it from an Islamic law perspective, are they fulfilling the pillars and even the recommended acts? Are they doing it? Yes, they're doing it. But his heart is not there. Remember when we talked about earlier, iltifat al-qalb, when the turning of the heart and turning during the salah, right? So here is of a lesser degree, where he says the slave does the actions out of aada, just of habit and of absent-mindedness. وَيَنْوِي بِهَا الطَّاعَاتَ وَتَقَرُّبَ إِلَى اللَّهِ. And he intends to do it out of obedience and coming closer to Allah. And then he says here, فَأَرْكَانُهُ مَشْغُولَةٌ بِالطَّاعَةِ. So his or her limbs are busy with obedience. Allahu Akbar, my hands are busy, my feet are busy, my knees are busy when I prostrate, when I walk to the masjid. My limbs are busy in the ta'ah, they're worshipping Allah. The action of worship of Allah, of the limbs. We're making this distinction. And then he says here, فَأَرْكَانُهُ مَشْغُولَةٌ بِالطَّاعَةِ وَقَلْبُهُ لَاهٍ عَنِ اللَّهِ. And his or her heart is totally distracted from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Totally distracted. And this is the real test, especially with our youth that just come into the age of puberty and they are told or they know that they are held accountable for their actions now. Now you're an adult. As a parent, I'm not responsible. I will be asked in front of Allah, but you will as well. Let's say that. You will be asked in front of Allah for the actions you are negligent on. Oh, 16, 17-year-old, those that have experienced puberty. And that is from the wisdom, from the wisdoms of puberty. That Allah transitions you biologically, meaning psychologically, okay, physically, from the traits that you have, physical traits, the things that change, your hormones, spiritually. And this is the part that we have to remember. When one experiences puberty, we don't just think about it from a visual perspective or what our senses encounter. We see that he's growing a beard, okay? We see that he's growing, his physique is coming out. We see that he's starting to think of things as an adult would. He wants his independence. She wants her independence, right? But also spiritually, Allah gives them the instruments or gives them the traits of understanding God and gives them the traits of understanding responsibility towards Allah. Also gives them the wherewithal to bear the responsibility of that knowledge. So when you tell them, look, Salat al-Fajr is wajib upon you. You're an adult now. That's why it's important when speaking to them, we speak to them as though they are becoming a man. We speak to them as though they are a man in preparation. You see, this is important. So that's why he says that his heart is totally negligent. They may be doing the actions, but is their heart there? With us saying that their kids, خَلِهِمْ صَغِيرَ لَا. Especially if they're at the beginning ages of puberty, it's important that we treat them as minor adults, that they are entering the world of adulthood. And then Ibn Qayyim says, وَكَذَلِكَ سَائِرُ الْأَعْمَالِهِ. And then he says, not only the prayer, this is with all actions. Even though he's talking about the prayer here, it's analogous with all actions. Reading Quran, okay? What else? Fasting. They may be doing it, but their heart is not there. And that's the seed of all actions. That's where the ikhlas, sincerity emerges from. And then he says, فَإِذَا رُفِعَتْ أَعْمَالُ هَذَا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ لَمْ تَقِفْ تُجَهْ. He says, if these actions were raised, they will not stand or hold weight in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يَقَعَ نَظْرُهُ عَلَيْهَا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not look at them. He will not look at them. وَلَكِن تُوضَعُ حَيْثُ تُوضَعُ دَوَاوِينُ الْأَعْمَالِ. Rather, they will be placed in a place that will be placed amongst the scrolls of actions. It'll just be in the line. It'll just be with the other actions. حَتَّى تُعْضُ عَلَيْهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَتُمَيَّزُ فَيُثِيبُهُ عَلَى مَا كَانَ لَهُ مِنْهَا. And he says, until they're placed in front of him, Yawm al-Qiyamah, on the Day of Judgment, where the scrolls will be, all the actions will be put in front of him. Fatumayyizu, and they will be distinguished, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward him upon what he was rewarded, whatever he did for his sake. وَيُرَدُّ عَلَيْهِ مَا لَمْ يُرِدْ وَجْهَهُ بِهِ مِنْهَا. And his reward, and he will be, and the other actions that were not for him, they will be rejected for whatever his face was not desired. Basically, the actions that were not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be rejected. But those actions that there was a level of sincerity, inshallah ta'ala, that they will receive the reward from it. Then Ibn Qayyim concludes here. He said, فَهَذَا قُبُولُهُ لِهَذَا الْعَمَلِ إِثْبَاتُهُ عَلَيْهِ بِمَخْلُوقٍ مِمَخْلُوقَاتِ إِثَابَتُهُ عَلَيْهِ بِمَخْلُوقٍ مَخْلُوقٍ. So this type of action, the second type, the person that did the actions, but their heart was not fully there, distracted. He says, they will receive reward from the things of this world. They may receive reward from the objects of this world, from his creation. He says, مِنَ الْقُصُورِ وَالْأَكْلِ وَالشُّرْبِ وَالْحُورُ الْعِينِ وَإِثْبَاتُ الْأَوَّلِ رِضَاهُ الْعَمَلُ لِنَفْسِهِ وَإِثْبَاتُ الْأَوَّلِ رِضَاهُ الْعَمَلَ لِنَفْسِهِ. He says, وَالْأَكْلِ, like from eating and drinking and receiving things of this life, right? And even mentions حُورُ الْعِينِ, like those that are were some, you know, the wide-eyed women of Jannah, he mentions here. وَإِثَابَتُهُ الْأَوَّلِ رِضَاهُ الْعَمَلُ لِنَفْسِهِ. And the reward for the first one is the gaining of Allah's pleasure. Notice, the second type where it was deficient, Allah will give you something in this life as a reward, possible. But the first type is the pleasure of Allah. The pleasure of Allah. This distinction is important. And then he says here, وَرِضَاهُ عَلَىٰ عَامِلِهِ. So Allah will be pleased with the action and the actor. And he says, وَتَقْرِيبُهُ مِنْهُ, and drawing nearer to him, وَإِعْلَاءُ دَرَجَتِهِ وَمَنْزِلَتِهِ فَهَذَا يُعْتِيهِ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ فَهَذَا لَوْنٌ وَالْأَوْلُ لَوْنٌ. So he talks about the first type that did it for his pleasure. He said that he will be pleased with him and pleased with the action, and drawing nearer to him and raising the levels and his maqam, his station. This type of person, the one that was present, the one that did it with sincerity, he gives him without any, what? Limits. بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. He says, فَهَذَا الْلَوْنُ وَأَوَّلُ الْلَوْنُ. So there's a clear difference between the first and the second type. There's a clear difference between the first and the second type. So what we get from this, even though he makes a small distinction, the one that does an action whose heart is attentive, present, desiring the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and nothing else, by the way. And this is a very important distinction. We may do an action of worship for Allah and want something of this life. We want something in this life. Is that haram, Jama'ah? Is that haram? So if I come and I say, you know, I want to pray for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I want to receive Allah's pleasure, but wallahi, I do want another job. And then he makes dua. Oh Allah, in the sujood, oh Allah, bless me with another job. Is this okay? It's okay, Jamal? Yes? This is fine. If someone comes to the salah and say, you know what? Ya Allah, I just want your pleasure. I don't even want anything else. I don't desire anything else. I want your pleasure. I just want you to be pleased with me. And during the salah, he says, astaghfirullah. He starts to think of his or her sins. Astaghfirullah. Oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, forgive me. There may be something that they want. We all want something, but the prayer is a much higher maqam. If Allah gives it to me, Allah gives it to me. That's not my main concern. My main concern is His pleasure. And whatever He gives me, I know with His pleasure, He will give me that which is better for me. Maybe what I want is not even good for me. You see the difference? Maybe what I want is not even good for me, so I will not desire it to the degree to where I know if I don't get it, I may be what? I may be what? Disappointed. Yeah, right. A soft disappointment. I don't want to say unthankful, but that's what it ultimately could be. And inside, you say, you know, if I really didn't get this, how would I? Well, I'd be very upset. With who? Right? We have to. This is the process. But if you do it only for Allah's pleasure, it's a much higher maqam, because if you don't receive what you subconsciously or maybe consciously want, you're not really concerned with that to where there is a burning, intense desire to get it. There's nothing wrong with having the desire and striving for something. But if you don't get what you strive for, what is the result of that? What is your behavior? What is your attitude? That's why he says the one that has a sincere heart, wanting to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking for forgiveness, thinking of his beautiful names and attributes, this is the best. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with him and pleased with the action. But the other one that just does the action, his or her heart is continuously distracted. They're doing the action correctly, mashallah. In the beginning, they did it. They drove to the masjid. They wanted to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They wanted his pleasure. They wanted to receive reward. But they were distracted. And they're not really wanting the pleasure of Allah. Ibn al-Qayyim says those are two distinct differences. Two distinct differences. You notice how before he was talking about how shaitan will try to influence you to leave the prayer, or shaitan will cause you to remember things that are not haram during the prayer. Now he's saying the accepted actions are of two types. The accepted, these are both good, but there's even a higher level. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Sharia of Islam always pushes you to be better than you currently are. And that's why it's important for the Muslim. And that's why the aqidah, wallahi, the belief in Islam is so rich. Because it says, be pleased with what you have. Make the effort, bismillah. But that doesn't mean that you are totally content to where you don't strive to be better. Because some will say, you work hard and you strive to be better, yes, but you don't hope for the pleasure, you don't hope for the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or striving to be better can lead to reliance on the self. No, you strive to be better and you trust in Allah that He gives you the strength to do that. But at the same time, the fact that you are striving does not mean that you're not what? Content. The fact that you are striving does not mean that you... Here's an example and I'll end it here. My parents came to this country. I was born in Arlington, Texas. My parents came from Ghana, then went to Chicago, then went, you know, father went to UTA, striving. Some of us may come to this country and we're not pleased where we're currently at. Because we want to get the degree to get the job, but it's taking so long. Or we want to get the green card. And for some reason they're not accepting the lottery, haven't gotten accepted from the lottery, or whatever it is. We're not pleased, although we're striving. Islam says you strive, but you're content with where you're at. And that is the beautiful union of the two. So when Ibn al-Qayyim is talking about this, the individual struggles for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they're pleased where they're at. And throughout this process, they want the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the highest level. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those that strive for His pleasure. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this struggle a blessed struggle and allow any pain or anguish or trial that we face to be an expiation for our shortcomings. Barakallahu feekum. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes.